More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Whoa, it's Sunday once again. And it is December 11th, I believe, last time I checked, 2016.
Why are you looking over here? Yeah, it is.
I thought maybe I would get some kind of a feedback here. I'm sure.
It is certainly a day in December.
It is a day in December, yeah. Things have been flying by this year, and with everything that's been going on, it's been crazy. And sometimes it's just hard to sit back and kind of watch the birds fly by and smell the roses a little bit and sort of reflect on what's going on here because, man, I'll tell you what, it's like it's been like a mad race. It's like that movie, The Mad, 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 Mad World, where they're all trying to get to the money. But, wow. And then they got a new
one. We're just trying to live.
Yeah, we're just trying to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, and our wash machine broke this morning. That was another big event in the day. And it's like, holy crap, what else can go wrong? Anyway, I just wanted to shout out to Linda. Say, hang in there, baby. Don't worry, we'll fix the machine.
Could be worse.
It could be worse. We could be out there beating them on the side of a rock or something, you know. Anyway, my name is Mark Kent. I'm your host once again. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda and Red.
Good morning.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, becoming a rapid descent into the unfunded pit of hell. Via a non-existent recovery. I had to take a breath. With the mantra of the prostitutes and self-serving politicians and banksters. I'm going to try to do that without even taking a breath here pretty soon. Good morning, Red.
Good morning.
And then when he falls out of his chair, we'll just kick him to the corner, you know.
it's still a little chilly down here in hell in the unfunded pit of liability. There must be some weird stuff going on up top.
Don't worry about it. Francine Sullivan says there's no problem. We'll talk about
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, we listened to her interview with Carl on Friday. It's like, holy crap.
What does Three Strikes Sullivan know about anything?
She knows about a baseball team. Come on.
I do know that she would very much like to see more bikers in Reading, and that's her solution to help alleviate traffic is get more people on bicycles.
She says the public comment is working, you know.
It's working. They don't have to listen to them.
It's like, let's see, who's it working for, you know? And it's like, are you kidding me? You know, there's no problem with the economy. There's no problem with the unfunded liabilities on the they got their own expert actuary that says that there's no problem here. And
do they have like their own private stash of stuff to smoke in closed session or what?
Maybe.
Oh, they have that secret room upstairs or something, don't they, that they go to?
Oh, yeah. There was that room REU was illegally conducting trades on the gas market.
Yeah.
And they were selling the gas credits that we had illegally.
And other things.
Whoa.
Hello. Hey, man. Is Dave there? Dave's not here, man.
No, but Dale is.
But Dale is on the line. James Dale Davidson's on the line.
We are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in if you have a comment or question at 530-605-4567. We are streaming worldwide, like I say. All of our shows are podcast and archived, and you go to Facebook at Sovereign Minds and Facebook me there. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 3276 Pacelli Lane. Limited government fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution. What a concept. You've been listening
to racist.
You've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind. If you want to go get more information on that, go to soj51.net. And should we get right to our guest?
Yeah, we'll probably should. Yeah, later.
Yeah. Sorry,
I'm not sure how long we have him for, so let's go ahead and bring him on.
Okay, so we've got Mr. Dale Davidson on.
James Dale Davidson.
James Dale Davidson. I'm sitting here looking at the at Wikipedia, and you know how reliable they are.
Okay.
Good morning. Should I call you Mr. Davidson or should I call you James?
You can call me anything you want.
As long as I don't call you Shirley.
That's quite polite.
Well, good morning, James. And I guess your expertise is in economics?
Well, I think so. I graduated from Oxford, and
wow.
They told me I'm something, so maybe I do.
Very nice.
But I think that the real test of what you know is what you've actually been able to say that came true rather than what's on a piece of paper somewhere. I think one of the things that's going to happen with the Trump administration is that a lot of the so-called experts are going to be seen to be less relevant than they were in the past. I think that's one of the reasons the experts are so united in opposing Trump.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't even supposed to win at all, and I think that we're still in for an economic, personally, my opinion is that, you know, nothing's really been fixed in the economy yet. I think Trump is the guy to be there in the driver's seat at this point. But, I mean, it would have been a calamity with Hillary and Clinton's and all that. But I still think the economy is going to take a real sharp dive. What do you think?
I think so, too. That's the message of my book, The Breaking Point. I explain why this is almost inevitable. It's out of arithmetic, if nothing else, because we've had a tremendous slowdown, which most people don't really recognize because government has been promulgating fake statistics about economic growth for years and years, and we believe we're nearly at full employment, which is an amazing delusion. I mean, actually, if you just look at the numbers, there are 16 million people who reached the age to enter the job market or entered this country of working age who are neither employed nor unemployed. They're in the statistical black hole. And we've seen real per capita, just if you take the official government numbers, which are lies, but if, just on that basis alone, real per capita GDP growth over a 10-year period has dropped from 3.5% in the 1960s to 0.5% now.
Wow.
And what we've tried to do is paper over the collapse of growth with additional debt. And debt is a way of borrowing income from the future and spending it now, right? But it also creates liabilities, and we've created these huge liabilities. We can't pay them.
Well, I agree with you. I think what they're trying to do is this is all going to be Trump's fault when the economy does collapse after the first of the year, if they can hold it off that long. And I mean, I don't have a degree from Oxford. I like to say I came up to the School of Hard Knocks and got a degree in results. But
all right. Well, good for you.
The real deal is it's common sense and math, isn't it?
Well, it is common sense. And I think all you have to do, if you can count back to history, though people don't pay any attention to history now, though I don't understand why, because it's still full of clues about what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Herbert Hoover was inaugurated on the 4th of March of 1929, and by October, he's credited with having plunged the world into the Great Depression, which would have been really amazing work if he'd set out to do it. You know, amazing accomplishment. Trump is going to get the blame. It's going to be his misfortune, though not his fault, that the economy collapses. And I would add this detail, which I think is also something you get from history, but you don't necessarily know it if you pay attention only to the mainstream media, who are blowing smoke in your face full time.
Yeah.
Every time someone has been elected to replace a two-term president since Woodrow Wilson in 1912, there has been a recession within the first 12 months of his term. So there's a regularity there that has continued for more than a century, and I would be stunned if we don't get a sharp downturn in Trump's first year. He will take the blame, just as Herbert Hoover took the blame for the Great Depression, but it isn't going to be his fault.
Boy, I agree with you entirely. I'm just looking at a statistic here.
Well, some of the things that Trump has already done and begin to put in motion that I'm looking at, is he already not starting to pre-position us for that collapse and to be able to hit the ground running to get our way out of it?
Well, I think he probably knows it, because he said during the campaign that the Federal Reserve had blown the biggest, ugliest bubble in history, and he said it might even collapse before the election. It didn't collapse before the election, but it's certainly due to collapse, and a lot of the temporary wealth that was created is going to vanish into thin air, just like the money that was created to fund all this.
Oh, you mean they're printing money with no backing for and buying treasury notes and funding our government? No, that could never happen, could it?
I'm shocked.
Oh, but if the government counterfeits, there's no problem, is there?
Well, maybe there is, and we're going to see that problem take shape in the headlines. Even the Washington Post and the New York Times will be too happy to tell us that we're in a downturn when it's Trump's fault.
Yep. I'm looking at statistics right now, going back to the labor force. I've got here, this comes from the Proud Conservative .com or proudcons.com, and it says that he just broke a record. Obama did. The average of 93,671,000 Americans 16 or older did not participate in the nation's labor force in the calendar year 2015, and which was a labor force participation rate of 62.7%, a 38-year low, and yet we're told that the unemployment rate is 4.1 or something. I don't remember.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I don't understand how anybody can think that's true.
Well, Donald Trump said it rightly in the New Hampshire primary when he was asked about what was then supposed to be 5% unemployment. He said only dummies believe the unemployment rate is 5%, because if it were, we wouldn't be having rallies like this.
I mean, it's just amazing, and I think the mainstream news is just completely lost all credibility at all. I mean, I was looking at a story this morning or yesterday where what's his name, the guy that said he was being shot down in the helicopter.
Oh, Brian Williams.
Brian Williams was saying that to stay away from these faux news sites, these fake news sites.
First one to head the fake news combat. Hillary Clinton should be brought in there to talk about her being under fire in Kosovo.
Sniper fire. Yeah, just what was Bill up to on that plane?
The thing is, we don't know what all is true and what all isn't almost anymore. If you listen to mainstream news, they are great at twisting and spinning and taking the truth and rolling it around to where it says exactly the opposite of what it actually is. I mean, that's what these guys seem to do on everything, and the economy most of all, I think.
Well, that's true. And, it's very interesting. In the Breaking Point, I draw the parallels between the way we report economic news and the way the economic news was reported by the Central Soviet Statistics Agency in the last days of the Soviet Union. And in fact, just before the Soviet Union collapsed, which I forecast well in advance, by the way, they were announcing that there was real growth of 3% in the final month of the Soviet Union. But when the rubble was cleared away and they looked at it, they found out that actually the Soviet economy had been collapsing and was growing more slowly than the U.S. in the Great Depression. You know, it's what some economists called the malpractice of economic measurement, and we have it in a big way.
Well,
we make up these numbers.
I was going to say history. They say history repeats itself, but I say history doesn't always repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme a lot.
Yes, it sure does. And it didn't work for the Soviet Union, and it won't work for us.
What you're mentioning
are,
the
know, people know that they're not doing very well. The average man today, the median man's income, according to the government statistics, which we know are lies, even within the context of the lies, the average man's real income is 4% less than his counterparts was in 1973.
Wow.
So you basically have a whole working lifetime without a raise. And the price of everything keeps going up. The costs go up, but they understate them in the official indices. We know that. I mean, it's just a joke.
I wanted to ask a question while you were discussing the Soviets and things. Some of the things that we're kind of seeing maybe the rumblings of and maybe down in the future, what do you think is the potential economic consequences, boon or bad, of alliance between the Russian Federation and the United States economically?
Well, I think it could be a huge benefit to us because we have a situation where we've been coaxed into spending more on our military and military procurement than every other country combined. And as Peter Thiel pointed out in his Republican convention speech in support of Donald Trump, we're not getting the best results. We have basically set up a program of shooting ants with elephant guns. We have our new fighter program, the F-35,
which is a joke,
with which we purchased hundreds of these things, and the plane won't fly in the rain.
It won't fly in the rain?
It won't fly in the rain. If we had a dogfight between those F-35s and President Eisenhower's Air Force, the F-35s would all be shot down. The thing, it's a ridiculous waste of money. $1.5 trillion for a fighter plane that won't fly in the rain.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's a scandal. It's insane. And I think that part of the fear that the deep state had about Donald Trump was they were afraid he was actually going to do something to fix it. I hope he does. Because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that term up, the deep state, because most I would venture to say, excuse me, that most people out there are not familiar with what that means. Can you kind of explain that a little bit so that people understand what the deep state is? I've heard a lot of people talk about it, Ron Paul and a few other people, but, you know, most people, you know, hear that and they're not sure what you're talking about.
Well, President Eisenhower gave us a heads up in his farewell address in 1961 when he said that we had to be ever diligent that we did not lose our freedom because we had changed our longtime policy that began with George Washington of not having a huge standing army. And we created this huge standing army and military establishment because of the Cold War, which required us to have a huge capability to retaliate in case of aggression in a nuclear age. But he also pointed out that these guys have a big interest in spending money that doesn't necessarily comport with the interest of the average person. So the deep state has become the current name, which is used to describe the military-industrial complex, as Eisenhower put it, who are there no matter who's president. George Bush described them as the deciders.
Hmm.
You know, apparently, he found as president that they made the decisions, and he just had to go along with what they suggested.
Well, that's one of the things I find encouraging about the selection of Mad Dog Mattis for Secretary of Defense as former Commandant of the Marine Corps. He's very used to and capable of creating warfighters on a shoestring.
Well, let's hope he can. And, you know, we've squandered so much money, trillions and trillions, as Donald Trump said in the election campaign, for nothing in these wars in the Middle East. All we've done is create chaos and leave behind a mess. You know, we came into Iraq, and this has to be one of the absolutely stupidest things that was ever done in history, and we cornered Iraq's army, forced the surrender of the generals and the Iraqi army, and we told them this: okay, guys, you're fired. You're no longer generals. You're no longer going to get your pay packet. Your pensions are canceled, and you can never be hired again in Iraq. And by the way, you can keep your guns. What?
Oh, whoops.
That was the basis of the foundation of ISIS right there. There was an article in the Jerusalem Post that reported that 100 of Saddam's top generals were the leading commanders in ISIS. Well, I guess so. What a stupid plan it is to take people that have guns and military capability, they're hardened generals with experience, tell them they can no longer be employed, they're no longer going to get a pension, they have no source of income, and they can't get a job. So what will they do? Well, they decided to steal the oil and sell it in Turkey. That was one way for them to keep going.
Wow.
But we've done so many stupid things. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton's plan to destroy Gaddafi. Now, that was a big success. So they created chaos in Libya and set up another installment of ISIS.
Well, they went after Gaddafi directly because he was looking at the formation of the Pan-African dinar backed by gold. I think that's what
he wanted to have a gold currency. That's right. They couldn't stand the thought that there would be gold, a gold currency.
Well, something competing with our dollar in the Middle East for oil.
Well, it would have been a preferable solution because the gold, as we all know, is not something you can just print up out of thin air.
Oh, it's just some archaic ancient relic that's barbaric, and we don't really need that solid, you know, hard, cold money, do we?
Well, Gaddafi made a mistake of opening his mouth and saying that he was going to do that.
Yeah, and it got him dead.
Yeah, he ended up dead. And I think that this thing is so stupid, it's not stupid. I think that this has all been part of the big world order plan from these globalists to keep the Middle East unsettled. And we keep fighting endless wars and wasting our money and our military and so forth. I think you look at the Clinton Foundation and receiving money from Qatar and Saudi Arabia and all of that. I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, I guess they're just bozos on the take, but it seems like there is a master plan somewhere behind this.
Well, there's at least a configuration of interests which leads things in the wrong direction. And we've seen it repeating over and over again. I mean, we fought in Afghanistan. It's now the longest war in U.S. history, and we're losing it. You know, the Taliban is regaining control in more and more areas. It's just a total chaos. The whole thing is just a scam or a racket where the Afghani leaders siphon off billions, and young Americans and others from the NATO troops get killed fighting over areas which are going to be given back as soon as the body bags are moved.
Well, a lot
the whole
of
thing
it
is an idiocy.
Well, a lot of it is they're making billions of dollars off of the heroin trade, and we're spending American blood and American lives to protect the heroin trade that's flooding our streets in America for them to make money to stabilize their country. It's insanity. It's a report just came out that the first time ever heroin deaths exceeded gun deaths in the United States, and that heroin is absolutely flowing out of Afghanistan.
Well, there's nothing else that they produce that's worth anything.
Yeah, there's not that many goat eaters in the world.
I do know that Afghanistan is a treasure trove of minerals, and that's one of the things that they do have that if they would exploit and actually mine and, you know, maybe have companies, and I think that's one of the big reasons that a lot of the interest want to be in Afghanistan, it seems like, is to take over all of those mineral rights, you know. But
well, I've been in the mining industry in my life for a long time. And one thing that I do know about it is you're not going to invest millions or even billions of dollars to mine a resource in a place where some raghead with this machine gun is going to come and open fire on you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's so unstable, you know, and everybody's tried to conquer Afghanistan. I mean, Russia was in there for, 10 years, you know, and I don't know if...
The last person who succeeded in conquering Afghanistan was Alexander the Great. That should be...
Because of the terrain, it's almost impregnable.
They didn't hold it very long after his death, either.
No, it couldn't be held. And you know, there's a name on the map, if you look at it, it's called the Hindu Kush, which memorializes the fact that Indian armies tried to invade Afghanistan repeatedly, and the Hindu Kush was the place that Hindus go to die.
I didn't know that.
Has never worked in history, and I think, you know, that our leaders are smoking something if they think that we're going to really create any kind of stability there, because
it's just not going to happen.
Hasn't come close to happening.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen, and these people are so backwards from what I've seen, too. I mean, I've watched several clips, you know, that were from in-country guys that were there, you know, not news stories. And, man, I'll tell you, some of these guys are some pretty messed up people that are running the show over there in the Afghanistan Army. I mean, they're, you know, it's common practice to have little boys in the captain's cabin, you know. I mean, it's really crazy. They're very backwards.
Well, it's not what I would call a place where you want to rush out and give up your life in order to keep the little boys in the captain's cabin, or to prevent women from walking the streets without their father accompanying them.
You know, and how they keep selling that, you know, they keep selling. I mean, you never hear anything from the left about the Muslims, you know, and some of the practices of these Muslims abuse, you know, for little kids and for, you know, their women and all of this stuff. And, you know, but I don't know. Do you think that that's across the board a fact as far as in Muslim countries that, you know, women are treated that way and the children are pretty much treated that way as well? Or is it just certain sects and certain places that are worse than others? I don't know.
Well, I would think that Afghanistan is one of the worst areas because it's one of the most backward areas. If you go to Istanbul, where I have been many times, it's a cosmopolitan city, and it really was a cosmopolitan city all along, from back to the point when it was Constantinople and the capital of the Byzantine Empire, as we now call it, or they call themselves the Roman Empire. And so Constantinople is a city where you don't see many women in veils. They're, you know, I doubt very much that they're being gang raped at every opportunity. It's a modern city, and there are other areas where there are Muslims. We have modern life, but Afghanistan is a very backward place, and it's beyond the capability of a few American soldiers scattered around to alter that fact very easily. You have no foundation for the economy. The whole government is based upon U.S. grants. There's no way they could fund it or keep it going if they didn't have U.S. money. The only other thing, as you allude, that is of any value there is the opium trade. And the idea that you're going to convince these farmers to stop growing opium by persuading them to take up a different brand of sorghum is ridiculous. Because what can they make from selling sorghum? Nothing. Whereas they make real money from selling the opium poppies.
It makes you wonder why we don't just cut this off at the pocketbook, Congress, and all of this. I sure hope that Trump does something and helps that along and quit sending our boys, our blood, and our treasure over there to just die for, you know, literally nothing. I mean, you know, we say we're in a fight for freedom, but I just don't see how fighting in Afghanistan frees anybody.
Well, I think you're right. I don't think anyone else could see it either if they had their eyes open. But we have scales on our eyes on so many issues. I mentioned the military, which is an extremely inefficient and costly burden on Americans. We have equally a huge burden and cost out of the healthcare system in this country. If you hire somebody to work for $30,000 a year, you practically have to spend the same amount to pay his healthcare under Obamacare's rules. And, you know, you wonder why there's this big, huge surge toward automation. Well, if you hire a robot to work in your factory, you don't have to, he doesn't get health care costs. He costs nothing in the way of health care.
Yeah. That was kind of a boondoggle with those guys rioting and or marching or whatever they were doing, protesting the union guys against McDonald's for a higher minimum wage. And now McDonald's is just replacing them all with...
Now they don't have jobs at all.
Yeah, the electronic kiosks.
Yeah.
Well, I know they started this, you know, it's so obvious. I don't understand how they could have missed it, because some years ago, anticipating a higher minimum wage, McDonald's did some test marketing where they used self-ordering computer stations, you know, like you have in many places, and they found they could replace almost everybody efficiently.
Hmm.
And we now have probably in the next little while, we're going to have self-driving trucks coming to the McDonald's stores with the tons of frozen burger patties. You know, the need for low-skilled work in the modern economy is diminishing rapidly, and the irony is that the left-wing nuts who are pushing for higher minimum wages and such are actually accelerating the transition.
Well, let's switch gears, and we're going to probably go to a break here right now and come back. And I want to talk about, I think there's a Fed meeting here in the next 3 or 4 days. And and Janet Yellen has been talking about raising interest rates for 8 years.
Yes.
And do you think she's going to do it, or do you think she's going to wait till after the first of the year? But we'll talk about that after the break.
So if you want to call in and have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy, loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step and back on themselves and their slow moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery from being alone too long. To die the arms of a nightmare, knowing well that your best days are gone.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Happy holidays from our family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel. Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. God bless you. Phrases that should be a blessing to anyone. Thanks to political correctness, these statements are now considered offensive, hurtful, and even a hate crime. I have three words in response to this. Get over it. Political correctness is nothing more than an attempt to manipulate you and silence your opinion and worldview. Never let anyone coward you into silence or be afraid to speak what you believe. Jesus always spoke the truth in love, so go and do likewise. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And the river opens for the righteous. 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 And the river opens for the righteous someday. I was walking with my brother, and he wondered what's on my mind. What I see with my eyes, and we can't turn our back this time. I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all I know. I want to be with my family, people who understand me. I've got nowhere else. And the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous someday. And I was talking with my sister.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. That's what I hadn't heard before. That's a little Jackson Brown there. I'm a patriot, so not bad. Anyway, we're here in the studio, and we're talking with James Del Davidson, and he is an economics guru, I guess is the best way to put it. And he graduated from Oxford, so, I mean, gosh darn.
He's got a lot of years down in the
The trenches, maybe, is what a good thing
he's
to say.
He's been studying it and predicting for quite a few years, you know, over 30.
So, with that said, you know, why is it important for Janet Yellen to not raise rates or to raise rates. I mean, some people are wondering why this interest rate thing is such a big deal. Maybe you can kind of expand on that for us, James.
Well, I can. I think the first thing you have to recognize is even though we have the lowest interest rates in 5,000 years, we are not growing fast enough to pay the outstanding debt that we've contracted. At the end of last year, we had $63.5 trillion worth of total debt in the U.S. economy. And our economy was a little less than $18 trillion in total value. And that includes the double counting because a lot of the debt that was created was also counted in as part of the GDP because, as you know, the U.S. government is borrowing 43 cents out of every dollar it spends, and government spending is counted in the GDP. So we're spending a hell of a lot of money that we don't have. But if you imagine that the average interest rate on that outstanding debt was even 2 or 3%, we're growing at an invisibly small rate, far slower than we would need to be able to pay the interest on the accruing on the debt. So that means that every year that passes, the economy is contracting as people try to have to take away spending from other things in order to pay the debt. And this is a very negative situation. So the Fed has resisted raising rates and normalizing interest rates, partly, I think, in the last year because they were trying to pave the way for the election of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, a great deal went into trying to create the illusion that the economy was really strong. We had a huge increase in the deficit. The government borrowed $1.8 trillion in the fiscal year that ended in September. It's a bigger borrowing binge than ever. And, you know, you heard a lot of talk about the so-called strong recovery under Obama. But if this recovery were really strong, we wouldn't need to be borrowing $1.8 trillion just to pay the bills in the government.
Well, what does it really matter if we don't pay interest rates? Does it really matter? Why? I mean, a lot of countries are going negative interest rates. You know, and why shouldn't we just keep it at zero? Well, I mean, is there a problem with that?
Well, there are problems with that because I think part of what's happened here that we don't really understand too well is that the very, very, very low interest rates that we've had, as I said, seriously, the lowest interest rates in 5,000 years, actually are deflating the economy. They're creating not growth, but they're stopping growth. But there's going to be a shock. If you remember last year, there was a small increase in interest rates by the Fed. And this resulted in a big stock market sell-off in January. I think
that was only 0.25%, too.
Yes, I think that they may raise rates more than 0.25%. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I mean, what they're going to do is entirely whimsical in some respects, because I don't think that they're very concerned about blaming a recession on Donald Trump. Now that Donald Trump is in the White House, they may be only too willing to raise rates, and I think they will because they started defending themselves, claiming that the biggest and most important thing in the economy was that they have independence to do their job as they see fit. But they're really not independent. I mean, they did exactly what Obama wanted the whole time that he was, you know, trying to get Hillary elected.
Well,
so we'll see. I think they'll raise rates, and that this will coincide with the onset of a recession, and Donald Trump will be blamed.
I agree with you. I think that's the end of the game here. And, you know, I think that's exactly what they're going to do is raise the interest rates. I think they'll probably wait. I think she might punt one more time until after the first of the year to make sure that we get to the inauguration. But, you know, the whole thing is interesting in that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but don't we get this money from the Federal Reserve, which is not federal and it has no reserves? So we create and we print treasury notes and we basically give them to the Federal Reserve for money and that they print out of thin air to buy the Treasury notes, and then we actually owe them for the money that they printed out to buy the Treasury notes. Am I correct in that thinking?
That is correct, but at the end of the year, they rebate back to the Treasury the interest that they're paid on the bonds.
The 6%? Or plus they pay a 6% on it?
Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And what they've done is scarfed up and gobbled up all the good collateral. And this is why the Dallas pension fund is broke and why all the pension funds in the U.S. are pretty much broke, because they can't, and the insurance companies are in trouble because they can't match their liabilities with assets that pay any income.
Well, and I'm glad you kind of brought up the bond thing, because aren't the bonds starting to tank now?
Yes, they've been tanking since Donald was elected. And this is also a bad sign. It's every sharp spike in yields has preceded a market crisis in the last 20 years. And we've had a big, sharp spike in yields since the election, because everybody seems to think, and this is what I think is so funny. If you go back during the campaign, Wall Street gave 2,500 times more support to Hillary than they did to Donald Trump. Yeah. She got some vast amount, like 48 million from hedge funds, when Donald Trump got 19,000.
Wow.
So they were totally on board, all in with her, as they said. And now that Trump is elected, they think he's Superman. They think he's going to be able to get the economy going immediately he takes office. And I think that would be a very hard row to hoe for him.
Yeah.
Because we've been slowing down for decades, and we've built into the system a tremendous amount of inertia, which will be hard to change. We've got all of these regulations that have been piled up that cost probably $30 trillion a year to the economy.
Yeah, I think if you could wipe the slate completely clean, you might have a chance in that. But there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be problems for a while, because you just can't wipe the slate clean. I mean, you know, I'd love to see them revoke the charter on the Federal Reserve and just start there. But I don't think that with the establishment Republicans or Democrats. I mean, just this last week they could have voted to impeach Koskinen at the IRS, and they didn't do it. They pushed the vote out, which is total cowardice. And so I think that they're probably going to be one of Trump's biggest nemesis is the establishment Republicans.
Well, all you have to do is look at what's happened or what hasn't happened over the years. You can see why that might be. I mean, these guys are all in on the gag. There's a huge amount of corporate and other contributions to political campaigns, and you need to raise a lot of money to be in politics. What? So the ones who are successful are the ones who have done it. So they've taken the money from these guys, and normally they want something in exchange for their money. And if they don't get it, it will be harder for them to succeed in the future.
So, James, do you
happen
to see some solutions or things that can be done that might stop it from collapsing and creating more, you know, less of a burden for the American people with what's coming when Trump takes office?
Well, you're Linda, right?
I'm Linda.
Yes. Well, Linda, I think it's probably too late for that. You know, that we have baked it in the cake that there's a huge problem, and it won't be easy to get over it. We've tried for years and years to do everything we could to kick the can down the road. And part of my argument is in the breaking point that the can has run out of road.
Right.
There's barely any place to kick it at this point. And they've done every expedient thing they could think of. And eventually, the long run arrives. And that's where we are. I think when I was a younger man, I used to talk to senators and congressmen, and they would say, in the long run, this country's going to be broke. But we've got a while. We'll be gone before that happens. And maybe they are now, most of them. But, you know, it's still a big issue for those of us right. Moving around.
Well,
I think we were overly optimistic about how long we could postpone the inevitable.
Well, I think the solutions are probably being as self-reliant and as prepared as you possibly can. You know, food storage, looking for a big economic downturn. You know, precious metals would be something. And I want to kind of talk about that a little bit because, I mean, they just came out this last week that, you know, they're a court case, they're suing Deutsche Bank about the market manipulation, but and I want to talk about them before you go. But what do you think about what I just said about preparedness, as far as you know, getting ready for devaluation of the currency and maybe a huge deflation that we're in right now before a hyperinflation possibly?
Well, I think that's right. I think that the situation here is precarious, and it's going to the whole pretense that we're in a recovery or we're in a strong economy or growing at all is going to be unveiled as that, just a pretense. And then we're going to have very serious disruption. We're going to have disruptions of the supply chain. We're going to have disruptions, monetary disruptions, income disruptions. You might lose your job if you're depending on a job for your survival. So you really need to think in terms of how you make the adjustment to a very severe and rapid simplification of society.
James, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Mary in Reading. I think.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. How are you? For your guest, James, I understand totally what you're saying. I've been briefed already on all of that, and I understand fiat money. And I also know about corporate bonds. But what about the treasuries? The I-bond or the H-bonds, any of those that are still being held in a drawer, should they come out and be cashed and buy some more fiat money to get some more gold or what?
Well, I think I'll tell you, Mary is your name, right?
Yes.
I would be in favor of converting your treasury bonds into gold. And here's why, because at the end of the day, you always face the possibility that you'll be like a family in Birmingham, Alabama, that opened up their old Bible and found $50 Confederate notes in the pages. So those turned out to be not very much more than souvenirs of unpayable debt.
Okay.
And we know that the government has huge debts that can't be paid, so eventually those things will not be paid. And gold is...
Thank you. I'll continue listening.
Ever.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary, for calling in.
Yeah, she got off the line. She's going to take the rest of the answer off the line. And I've been saying it for a long time that, you know, that's why they call it cold hard cash, not cold hard fiat currency that can be devalued. And so have you heard about this thing that's going on with Deutsche Bank over there? And they've now got evidence evidently that have named HSBC and JP Morgan and a few others in this market manipulation suit that's going on?
Yes.
What do you know about that, and what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's not surprising that these institutions that are highly leveraged and very vulnerable would want to try to manipulate the markets for silver and gold. They certainly manipulated the LIBOR market because that was a big deal to them. And, you know, if you look at Deutsche Bank, it's an extremely vulnerable institution. It has something in the order of $70 trillion worth of derivative exposure. And $70 trillion is roughly equivalent to the total nominal value of the world economy. So it's hard to imagine that Germany could bail out Deutsche Bank, and I don't think it ever will. I mean, they can give them injections of capital and regulatory relief in certain places, but when the crap hits the fan, there's no way out for that.
Yeah.
We saw this with Lehman Brothers.
Well, we're at the top of the hour, James. If you could hold over for a few minutes, we'll be more than happy to keep you on and keep this conversation going, but they're going to cut us off at the top of the hour. So can you hang with us?
Okay.
All right. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
More Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Ready.
This hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Donald Trump says he will run his White House differently than his predecessors. That's his answer to complaints that he's been skipping intelligence briefings. Trump says he's told his intelligence crew, just let him know if things develop.
I say, if something should change from this point, immediately call me. I'm available on 1 minute's notice. I don't have to be told, you know, I'm like a smart person. I don't have to be told the same thing and the same words every single day for the next 8 years.
He spoke to Fox News Sunday. Today is an official day of mourning in Turkey after twin bombings this weekend in Istanbul killed at least 38 people near a soccer stadium. Kurdish militants are claiming responsibility. The government has ordered flags to fly at half-staff across the country and at Turkey's foreign missions. America's top doctor comes out against e-cigarettes.
U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy claims that the use of electronic cigarettes are a risk to children, adolescents, and young adults. His report claims that vaping e-cigarettes is associated with increased use of tobacco products, and the nicotine that they contain can cause addiction and perhaps other effects on the developing brain. The Food and Drug Administration regulates the sale of e-cigarette systems, which contain any tobacco product.
Dr. Charles Schneiderman is a Washington, D.C. area physician. The top U.S. commander in Iraq says Iraqi and U.S.-led coalition forces have killed or gravely wounded more than 2,000 ISIS fighters in the battle for Mosul since October. Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend telling reporters there's still an estimated 5,000 ISIS fighters defending the city. Louisiana voters have chosen Republican State Treasurer John Kennedy to fill the state's open U.S. Senate seat, giving the GOP a 52-48 edge in the chamber. Saturday's runoff election settled the nation's last Senate seat. No word from Boeing yet, but Iranian officials say they're buying 80 of the company's planes for $17 billion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In a crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good-for-25-year survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food rated for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping and has been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free. Just cover $9.95 in shipping. Go to freefoodone.com right now. Supplies are limited and the program may end at any time. Go to freefoodone.com now. That's freefoodone.com.
General Motors plans to recall nearly 50,000 sport utility vehicles made for police departments and other government agencies because of a hazard in the cooling system. The problem affects the 2010 through 2014 models of the Chevrolet Tahoe Police Pursuit SUV. A GM notice sent to government regulators warns the affected vehicle's cooling fan could trigger an electrical short circuit due to corrosion from fluids leaking into the system. That could cause a fire, but apparently it has not so far. Former President Bill Clinton says Janet Reno never took the easy way out when making the tough decisions that were the right thing to do. And he says she wasn't afraid to take responsibility if her decisions turned out to be wrong. Clinton made Reno the first female attorney general in 1993. He delivered a eulogy this morning at her memorial service in Miami. She died in November at the age of 78. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Pioneering smartwatch maker Pebble is no longer manufacturing or selling any of its devices now that the bulk of the company has been purchased by Fitbit.
Palo Alto, California-based Pebble says its devices will continue to work as normal for now, but might lose functionality in the future. San Francisco-based Fitbit announced the deal to acquire Pebble on Wednesday. Terms weren't disclosed. Pebble's first smartwatch was launched in 2012, 3 years before the Apple Watch. The company had raised more than $10 million for the project through a Kickstarter campaign. It raised more than $20 million through the site for an updated version of the watch last year. Pebble founder Eric Migakovsky calls the sale bittersweet. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, December the 11th. It's the 346th day of 2016. There are just 20 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1816, Indiana became the 19th state. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
It's Carl and Linda Bott, and we just wanted to let you know about Omaha Steaks holiday gift packages. You simply can't go wrong with Omaha Steaks.
Shop now for gourmet gift packages guaranteed to fit your list and budget. Cherish more time with your loved ones thanks to the one-stop shopping, no prep, and oven-ready dinners all from Omaha Steaks.
We have tried them, and we're delighted to see how easy they were to prepare and how delicious they are.
Start your holiday shopping now at omahasteaks.com.
Jake Shimabukuro is returning to Reading's Cascade Theater. He's the ukulele wizard that Rolling Stone has declared a musical hero. He's fun, innovative, and amazing in concert. Don't miss Hawaiian ukulele master Jake Shimabukuro in concert December 11th at the Cascade. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
People think we're nearing the end of time, but we've had enough and we've drawn the line. Our flag is up since our people went down, and now we're together from the country to town. We live back in the woods, you see. Big city problems never bothered me. But now the world has changed, and so have I, and America can survive. America will survive. We can plow our fields all day long. We can catch our fish from dusk till dawn. Yeah, we have toughed it out a time or two. These are dark days, but we're gonna pull through. We grow good old tomatoes. We got hometown pride. America can survive. America is gonna survive. 'Cause you can't scare us out. You can't make us run. What we got here is freedom and fun. We say grace. We say ma'am. If you don't like that, we don't give a damn. We came
came from the West Virginia coal mines, the
Rocky
Mountains, and the big city
skyline. Sovereign Mind Radio. I almost answered with Norse Taken. Hey,
that's all right. I do that. I did that at the office.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Tree of Life. Oh,
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Say that about 100 times.
Good product placement.
There you go. And we're talking to James Dell Davison on economics and so forth. And I'll tell you what, I think there's only two camps here, and I think it's either you believe that there's a problem or you believe there's nothing wrong. I mean, and, you know, I have a hard time believing the camp that there's nothing wrong. I mean, because they have stellar guys that tell us the truth all the time, telling us there's nothing wrong, like Brian Williams and Rachel Maddow and Jim Cramer.
Right. You know. I did want to let the listeners know something about James, that in 1974 he founded the National Taxpayers Union.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. Protecting your rights that every American to keep what they've earned. That's a good thing to know.
That was a waste of time, wasn't it?
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't say that, but, you know, you've been in the trenches a lot with that.
Well, it gave me an opportunity to get a firsthand understanding of the Congress and how it works. And it was enlightening but not encouraging.
Right.
And eventually I realized that I could be putting my talents to more productive use, because it's like trying to bail out the ocean to try to stop the Congress from wasting your money.
Well, they've done a really good job of that, that's for sure. I mean, I've been so disappointed with these guys not cutting Obama off at the pocketbook years and years ago, just because, and like you say, they get paid off. They get, that's how they stay in office. Our guy here got paid off for Monsanto so that he would, you know, pass a bill for them. And then, you know, they won't impeach Koskinen, who's been targeting everybody, under the sun as far as patriots. So, I'll tell you, it's just crazy. Where were we? We were talking about gold and silver a little bit and the interest rate.
Just holding forth in my usual way. To say that I think that while every debt in the world that was issued in the last two centuries, other than just at the very end of the last century, is now worthless, or it's either been paid off or it's defaulted, the gold that was mined from the earliest trinkets forward has held its value. And this is important, because gold and silver are assets that are not someone else's liabilities. And when you start trucking in other people's liabilities, the problems of the counterparty risk become huge. And this is particularly great when you consider that the biggest source of funding in the world economy is the euro dollar market. Now, when I say that, don't make the mistake of thinking I'm talking about the euro currency in Europe. I'm talking about euro dollars, which is a name which is applied to American dollars that have taken a vacation and have left the country, and they're now out somewhere in other banking systems than the U.S. banking system. And these dollars are lent out, and they're the source of funding for Deutsche Bank and Monte de Pesce and all the other insolvent banks in Europe, and lots of other things. But if you look at it, they are sitting on a foundation of collateral in which single instruments of collateral are reused 30 times. Imagine going to Las Vegas or Reno, which might be closer to you, to gamble, and having a stack of $100 bills and having 30 gamblers going, using that same stack of $100 bills as their collateral to gamble.
Isn't that the term rehypothecating?
Rehypothecating is the exact term. They're rehypothecating the collateral 30 times over on average. So that means if there's ever a crisis, if there's a problem, if Deutsche Bank goes down or Monte de Pesce goes down, who gets the collateral? How do the custodians settle that problem? Nobody has a clue, because basically, it's logically impossible for the same collateral to be used 30 times over. It's
well,
like
there's nothing. There's nothing backing it. There's nothing backing it anyway. Isn't it just going to go poof?
Well, it will. That's what I'm saying. But if you went, imagine how much money you could invest if you could go to the bank and mortgage your house 30 times over. But if you fail to pay one of those mortgages, then one of the banks gets to take your house and the others are out of luck, right?
Right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And that's the system that's funding the world economy.
So this is the derivatives market.
It's waiting to happen.
This is the derivatives market. And what they've done is they've taken this same investment, whatever it is. I mean, whether it's leasing gold over and over again or houses or, you know, this is the 2008 crisis, the subprime mortgage. Isn't that this all the same thing? They just take the same assets and sell them over and over and over again? And
it's pretty much the same thing, yes. Because what it amounts to is an incredible amount of leverage built on a very, very fragile foundation. It's like building a skyscraper, or setting out to build a skyscraper out of pickup sticks. The taller you make the thing, the more certain it is to fall over. And that's just where we are in the world today.
Well, isn't that why, was saying that they're weapons of mass destruction? The guy who...
Warren Buffett,
yeah. And that's what he's talking about, is that if something goes bad and a payment doesn't occur, then the whole thing folds like a domino?
Yes.
Hmm. That's got to be.
Well, that's the world we live in.
That's comforting.
I don't know if you're more easily comforted than some people, but it's definitely something that you need to be alert to if you're concerned about making your way and surviving in this world, which is right at the threshold of collapse, I would say.
Well, and that ties into the public pensions as well. I want to kind of pull that in here a little bit too, because we're getting from our local city council and a few guys around here that the pensions aren't in trouble at all, CalPERS, because they've got an actuary that is a professional that says that, there's no problem and, they're going to fix this thing over time and they just need some good rates of return and so forth. What do you think about that?
A great advantage of legalizing marijuana for recreational use.
Well, that might be what they're doing in the little
exactly.
chamber like we talked about before, It's like
smoking in the back room.
That's right. Dave's not here, man. I think that whole thing folds and it's all part of this derivatives market worldwide.
Yes, it's going to fold in, and it's a consequence of an unappreciated consequence of quantitative easing, because what they did with quantitative easing is they went in and scarfed up all of the high quality collateral and put it in the Fed's drawer. And then they replaced it with low yielding bonds. I mean, the bonds from before the crisis, the 30-year bonds were yielding like 6.8%. And the ones today are yielding 3%. So if you're an insurance company or a pension fund, that you have liabilities you have to match, unless you've got the actuary who's had some good weed or something, you're going to come up short. And every bit they come up short requires a tax increase or something to fund the shortfall.
Right.
And they just had a problem in Dallas, where its pension system basically went
froze.
They suspended withdrawals. And you've got the same problems all across California. Illinois is even a better spot to look for these things, because the governor of Illinois practically threatened the state actuaries. If they said that the pensions were underfunded, he was going to, send thugs out to beat them up or something, because it would require a huge tax increase and totally screw up the whole budget. But that's the reality. The reality is that this money isn't there.
And I think that's
very hard to get those high returns.
And I think that's why everybody, that we can take this and bring this full circle and come back in. This is why counterfeiting causes so much distortions in the marketplace, whether the government does it or whether private people do it. Back in the colonies, it was a death sentence. Now you get to become chairman of the Federal Reserve. But But, I mean, this is the distortions that we're talking about, that eventually the bubbles are created through the printing and the counterfeiting and the derivatives. This is all the same thing. It's basically fraud. And that's why that it doesn't matter who's elected at this point, as much as, you know, that this thing has to be, the bubble has to pop, and let's just hope that we can survive it.
Yes. Well, that's a pretty good summation of where we are, I think. We've pushed it to the furthest extreme, and we're spending money that, like crazy, that we get nothing for. We have, for example, I haven't mentioned the education system, but that's another one of these big scams or rackets. We spend a lot of time talking about importing things from China. What we probably should be importing from China are elementary schools. Because the data show that the Chinese have the highest test score results of anybody in the world, and they're spending $1,100 per pupil. There are school districts in the United States that spend 20 times that and have horrible test results. So look at it any way you want to. We're spending money that, like nobody else, and getting lousy results.
Well, we're getting a lot of, I was going to say, we're getting these college people coming out of these, you know, universities that have been schooled in Marxism, and they think that the government is the answer to everything, and, you know, we get Common Core and things like that.
Well, we get people coming out of school who have become indentured servants. You know, they borrow a lot of money to take a, to graduate with a degree in art history, and they wonder why they can't find work or they can't pay off their loan. You know, something like 70% of young Americans under the age of 34 are living either in their parents' basement, if they have a basement, or on their sofa. If you're in Florida, like I am, there are no basements, so nobody can live in the basement, but they're living somewhere in the garage.
Maybe under the stairs.
Yeah, maybe under the stairs.
Did you have a question, Linda?
No, I was just going to say, when he was talking about the education system, that's so straight across the board with so many of the agencies. The results, you know, we don't match up to hardly anybody. We're below everybody, and we spend the most money towards all these different programs, and we fall short.
Yeah, why?
Well, that's why it can't work. It won't stand the test of time. You can't. I mean, if you think of operating a business, if you operate a business and your costs are 10 times what your competitors are, and the competitors are doing a better job, guess what? You're going to go out of business. You're not, that doesn't work. You have to be able to pay your way. And the same is true for a country. Yep. We can't be spending more than every other country combined on the military and then finding out that the new fighters won't fly in the rain.
I think this could be where Trump starts to shine for us, and that's my hope, is that he is actually, you know, based on results, not rhetoric and pandering and grandstanding, and you know, putting the right appointments in the right places, you know, could be the difference between, you know, success.
Well, I think he has a good foundation that he's working on, and you got to have the good foundation to start with to move forward to help us get out of this. We know it's going to happen, correct?
Yep.
You know, and hopefully he's got enough in place, or will have enough in place, to start the building.
At least ease the pain anyway.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, recoup. So to speak, and come back as a great country.
Well, I think we're
going to
get a real hard lesson in monetary policy here, the American people, on why you have you know, gold as a currency, not currency that's backed by nothing, fiat currency. You know, back in the day, our currency said, you know, redeemable upon demand in gold and silver and so forth. There was a reason for that. It wasn't that the paper was the money. It was the representation of the actual money, and we've lost touch with that because of our education system. Most people, you ask, you know, if they would take a candy bar over a 10-ounce bar of silver because they don't understand the value.
Well, we're going to be standing in line for a painful lesson.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
I agree. Well, I think we probably have to go to a break, and, you know, I'm not sure how much longer you can stay on the show with this, James, but, you know, if you want to hold over, that's fine. Otherwise, you know, we can let you go, and we've got a couple other things that we need to go over. So, you know, your call. What do you think?
Well, I could do another few minutes with you if you're...
Yeah, let's maybe go another five, ten minutes, and then we'll let you go.
All right, okay. So thanks. If you have a question or comment for our guests, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Oh, people, look around you. The signs are everywhere. You've left it for somebody other than you to be the one to care. You're lost inside your houses. There's no time to find you now. While your walls are burning and your towers are turning, I'm gonna leave you here and try to get down to the sea somehow. The road is filled with homeless souls, every woman, child, and man, who have no idea where they will go. They'll help you if they can. Gonna pull them through somehow. While the fires are raging hotter and hotter, but the sisters of the sun are gonna rock me on the water now. Rock me on the water, sister, will you soothe my fever brow? Rock me on the water.
Molly, how about those holiday coffee beans at Tobacco and Brew?
Yes, Linda, I'm drinking the pumpkin spice right now, and it smells just like the holidays.
Well, my favorite is the peppermint bark and, Jack Frost. I'm taking them as my hostess gifts this holiday season.
And don't forget the triple chocolate. I drink that every morning at home. It's delicious. Oh, and the wonderful cigar grab bags inside the walk-in humidor.
Get warm and toasty this season at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction, letting you know that you no longer have to make an appointment to renew your California CCW permit. Simply navigate to readingccw.com and select a renewal class to attend. While you're there, download the renewal application and fill it out. 4 weeks from your expiration date, send in your application and your training certificate. For any questions, give me a call, 530-999-1822, or visit us online at readingccw.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
This is your life, good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Happy holidays from our family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our 8th year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel.
Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I'll be right back, okay?
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
Uncle Bob!
What do you want?
Why does Mount Shasta spring water taste so good?
Because it comes from our protected springs at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. Uncle Bob, where does the water come from? From melting glaciers high atop Mount Shasta.
Wow, Uncle Bob, it's pure and simple.
Mount Shasta spring water is naturally the best. Yes, and anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227. Tell them Bob the Drop sent you.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Let's know when that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. Let's know when I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that have dried upon sunlight. That keeps you on the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me. Or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together.
Radio. That's the band Perry. I thought that was really good stuff there. Gentle on My Mind. Really liked it. I've never even heard of them before. Sally, that was Rock Me on the Water. Earlier, James Brown. I don't know if you missed it. I'm a patriot. James Brown.
No, it wasn't James Brown.
I mean, James Brown. I'm sorry, Jackson Brown. I was just thinking. I knew who it was. James Brown. Wow, I feel good. No. Now,
I was just waiting to say something, but what, you know.
Wow, it's hot. And sitting in the hot tub. No.
Rock me on the water.
That's good, Bob.
Wow. Give me some of that hot water. Anyway, you're listening to Sovereign Minds. And
yeah, that was a terrific cover of Gentle on My Mind.
It was good. I like that. Yeah, I might play a little more of that stuff. So. Sally's in the chat room. There was one that we played from James, not James. I don't know why I want to say James, from Jackson Brown. I Am a Patriot. You might want to Google that. That was pretty good too. But I like the Rock Me on the Water much better. Anyway, we're back here and we're with James Dale Davison, and we've been talking everything economics. And I think we're kind of on the same page here. I like to think that I should get an honorary degree from Oxford now.
Well,
what do you think?
Write a note to
Lord Patton and see what he says.
There you go. Put it in the bottle.
It'll be like, Mark who?
Put the note in the bottle.
One thing, Mark and Linda, I would like to say is we've talked a lot about fiat currency, and I think it's important to sort of highlight for people that one of the triggers for this whole thing coming apart is going to be a continued rally of the dollar. You know, it's a paradox that we've created all these trillions of dollars out of thin air, and in the process of doing it, we've created a shortage of dollars around the world. And this is something that most people don't understand. It seems quite difficult to grasp, but we've used the dollar as a short position that's been created by all the debt that has been contracted. Trillions and trillions of dollars worth of debt. In the emerging economies alone, $9 trillion have been borrowed by companies in countries like Mexico, Brazil, Turkey, South Africa, etc. And they don't earn dollars. They have to collect dollars in the foreign exchange markets to service their debt. And this is becoming ever harder because if you remember, on the night that Trump was elected, a couple of days before, I sent out to my A-list a warning or an alert that Trump was going to be elected and advised them to sell short the Mexican peso. And for every $1,000 put at risk, they could have made $42,500 overnight.
Wow.
Which becomes a pretty good deal. And one of the billionaires on my list did sell short a quarter of $1 million worth.
So wow.
He's even richer than he was before. And I think this is a situation which people don't understand. The Mexican peso is way down. The Brazilian real is way down. The Turkish lira has hit an all-time low. The South African rand is down. All of these countries are down. Currencies are down, including the Chinese renminbi yuan. And that is all very serious stuff because these countries and companies cannot pay their debts, and so the default starts there, and that's where the whole thing unravels.
Do you think that – do you think that's why that the Chinese were so adamant in getting into the SDR with the International Monetary Fund so that they could try to supplant us as the world reserve currency?
Well, it doesn't help them to supplant it as the world reserve currency one way or the other because the debts are denominated in dollars. They have to pay them. If they can drive the dollar down, that would give them help. But it doesn't help when the dollar is going up. And the dollar is going up because there's the biggest short squeeze of all time.
And Donald Trump was elected, that
put an extra booster stage under it.
And so when you say that it's got the short squeeze going up, is that because everybody's running into the dollar for safety?
No, it's because they borrowed dollars. And when they borrowed dollars, that's the same thing as being short of dollars. They borrowed dollars because our Federal Reserve created this so-called carry trade. In my investment newsletter, Strategic Investment, our people made more than 100% on a carry trade versus the Brazilian real at that point. Because you can borrow dollars for 1% or 2%, and the Brazilian government bonds were paying 12% or 13%.
So the money goes out into the economy then, and then they can't pay it back with dollars because they're short on them?
Because they don't have dollars. They don't make dollars. They earn, if you're in Brazil, you've got a company that's selling normally in the Brazilian market, it's selling for Brazilian real, or reais, as they call it in Portuguese.
So where do you think all these dollars end up?
Well, they've been traveling around the world. They're now in what we described before as the euro-dollar market. And, you know, they're there somewhere as electronic impulses in a computer. And, you know, some of them went to China where they were leveraged into $30 trillion worth of debt that was put on the Chinese economy in the last decade. That's a fantastic amount of debt to pay. They're even more leveraged than we are because their economy is smaller than ours. And they did incredibly stupid things with this borrowed money. you know, you just think about it. I point out in the Breaking Point that the Chinese used more cement between 2011 and 2013 than the U.S. did during the entire 20th century.
Wow.
Well, what did they do with it? They built empty cities.
Yeah, they got the whole ghost cities
and
thing.
Don't forget the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah, so somebody said, Mark and Linda, we've got a great deal for you. We're giving you New York City. You can have all the shop space, all the office towers, the Trump Tower, all the apartment buildings. You'd say, hey, wow, we've really hit it big. And then if they added this little caveat, but by the way, the city is empty. There are no people living here. There are no people shopping. The businesses are empty. And that is the case in China. They've built the equivalent of 27 empty New York cities with all this building and all this debt.
So there's no commerce. There's no economy. It's just a bunch of empty buildings.
How are you ever going to pay that off? How does it ever pay its way? Well, it won't.
Well, what happens if they do something to our dollar, like we have a reset like they've just done recently in India, where they say, okay, we're going to withdraw 86% of the currency out of circulation, and you have to go into a cashless society, turn all of your $100 bills in or whatever it happens to be. Wouldn't that make the Chinese completely at our mercy?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they're at our mercy right now in the sense that your economy is squeezed and the dollar, their currency is falling, and they've also used up a great portion, trillions of dollars worth of their reserves. They've been paying this out to try to keep their currency stable, which they can't do because the hydraulic force of the dollar short in the world is too strong. It's the irony that's going to kill this whole game of make believe and let's pretend. The dollar keeps going up, and they have a very hard time dealing with it.
Wow! I'll tell you what. It's just amazing how far this distortion in the market has come because of this establishment of the dollar on the world reserve stage. I mean, lending to all these countries and. You know, what happens, like you say, if we start charging an interest rate on this, then the whole world folds up, is what it sounds like. It'll be one big, huge default. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, it's going to be, yeah, I think that's basically a shorthand description of what's in store. We're going to have a huge contraction that's going to destroy money and destroy value in the markets. You know, the stock markets are going to go down, I believe, in most cases. Some things will go up, but most things will go down. And you're going to have a hard time funding almost anything that requires leverage, and almost everything in our economy today requires leverage. You have to, if you're going to buy a house, you need to borrow money from somebody to do it, most likely. And this is going to be a shock. And I tried in the Breaking Point to describe why it's happening and what will happen. And I think it's probably worth a read because you may not have thought of all these things. And if you start thinking about them, you'll think about other things and you'll reach a better understanding of how to survive.
So if somebody wants to get a hold of your newsletter, Strategic Investment, is that the best place to maybe get more information?
Well, they could get the book, and the newsletter is available. There are a lot of online promotions for it, but you could, I think, go to...
And the book is Breaking Point, correct?
The book is Breaking Point.
Breaking Point is the book, and they can get that at Amazon, I'm assuming, in any place like that.
Yes. We sure hope so.
Last you knew, it was good to go.
What a crazy world reset that the governments have been propaganding over. The prostitutes, are not telling us about this. Everything's roses, sunshine and blowing a lot of smoke up a lot of different places. But
well, you handled that very carefully.
I think Robert's got a question for you, James.
Just real quick, okay. James, I was going to ask you, Mark and myself, we also run a online newspaper and news source, and I was curious if you would be open to us allowing to reprint your articles out of your newsletter, as long as, of course, we give you credit and link to your newsletter and maybe help get some more people pointed your way.
Well, that would be helpful. Maybe I could send me a note or send the publishers a note, and I will pass it on to the publisher and get.
All right, you have all this information.
Yep, I have all the contact information.
So she's got all your contacts. So yeah, we'll do that. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be mutually beneficial.
Yeah, we're just like a little fly in the ointment out here in the middle of nowhere, but we try to we like to think we do our part here.
We do some good work.
Well, good. So keep it up.
are you familiar with Jim Rickards at all?
Oh yeah, sure.
What do you think about him?
Well, I think he's been more right than not.
Yeah, that's what I think too. He seems like he's a pretty brilliant guy, but he sure does talk fast, and a lot of it's hard to really digest on what he's talking about. But I was just curious as what your thought process was on him. I've gotten different viewpoints from different people on it. We really appreciate you coming on the show here today. We've been talking to James Del Davison, author of The Breaking Point, and you can get his book on at Amazon and probably most major bookstores in the country.
Yeah, maybe we can have you back on after January 20th and see where we're headed and what you predict and what you know to help us out.
Okay. Well, look forward to it.
Yeah, it's been great.
Have a good one, everybody.
Great. Very
All
good.
Right.
Thank
have
you.
A Merry Christmas.
You too, Martin London.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Let's go to a break here. And then while we got 15 minutes before the top of the hour, and we'll regroup, reset, and get ready for our next guest.
Yeah, get some announcements in and get ready for our next guest. You've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Found you sitting on a suitcase crying. Beneath my feet I feel the rumble of a subway train. Yeah. I laugh out loud, cause it's the one thing I hadn't been trying. Yeah. The train came in breathless, the passengers restless. She said, baby, you'll never change. You gotta get gone, you gotta keep going. And the world is slowing down. No one, it's a carnival called out to you. It sounds like a song, it's like scripture. You paint the picture with colors, gleams from your hair. Weren't you the kid just climbing on the
Theater is throwing a silver screen Christmas party, and you're invited. Friday, December 16th. Doors open at 6 with live music, dancing, a Christmas sweater contest, themed drinks, and a visit from Santa, followed by the ultimate holiday film, Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life, starring Jimmy Stewart. The film starts at 7:30, Friday, December 16th. Tickets and information at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, God bless you. Phrases that should be a blessing to anyone. Thanks to political correctness, These statements are now considered offensive, hurtful, and even a hate crime. I have three words in response to this. Get over it. Political correctness is nothing more than an attempt to manipulate you and silence your opinion and worldview. Never let anyone coward you into silence or be afraid to speak what you believe. Jesus always spoke the truth in love, so go and do likewise. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible without compromise, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
This is Joe McKenna, CEO of CloudWise Academy and your host of the Digital Revolution Show. If you own a business, run a business, or want to start a business, then this show is for you. I'll pull back the green curtain exposing how the internet is impacting your business and give you the rules and tools to take control. If it's related to the internet and matters to business, we'll be talking about it here. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to the Digital Revolution Show on KCNR 1460.
KCNR 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR 1460 AM.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. Yeah, that's for Hillary there. You know, we have to, you know, give credit where credit's due. And I'll tell you what, you look at that video and the guitar player, I'm just thinking all he needs is Elton John glasses, man. And then, you know, they could sing a pretty sweaty duo. Holy crap.
Best little duet.
You don't send me flowers anymore.
Okay.
We should play that one.
Yeah.
Bob, stop it.
You don't really want me to play Barbara Streisand.
No.
Isn't that Neil, that's Neil Diamond. Isn't that Neil Diamond with that one, You Don't Send Me Flowers?
Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I cannot stand to look at Barbara Streisand. I'm sorry. I mean, she had a great voice and everything and a lot of it. She's good grief.
I mean, the schnoz.
And she was actually kind of cute when she was younger. But now I look at her and I go, oh, man. You know.
He's needed glasses for a while, I think.
Well, maybe, yeah. I was
looking at Robert over here.
I was going to say, maybe it's because I had my beer. Well, beer goggles. You know, I mean, that could have been it.
You could beer goggle up on her.
Yeah, maybe. Back in the day. Babs, you're off the team. So,
yeah, wasn't she one of the Canadians that was headed to Canada if Trump got elected?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, you're.
And
so
now they don't want to leave.
Well, she's so terrible that the Canadians
they're getting turned back at the border.
Yeah, well,
yeah, they don't want them in Canada.
Here's Canada that figures Celine Dion as a national treasure, and they won't even let Streisand in.
So we must have some announcements. I know we've got somebody coming in from Dave Bryan is coming in from the Glad Tidings Church on Monday to the Reading Patriots and he will be talking on moral courage in a day of wimps, wussies, and weenies. And that should be pretty good. I mean,
Pastor Dave is not a guy to shrink away from patriotism or his duty.
That's good. That's good.
He is not afraid.
Yeah. So, and you have some
announcements? Yeah, I do. Don't forget, we got the Servicemen's Feast coming on the 17th at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Ubit Street. That's for all veterans, first responders, police, firemen, and their families. And we'll be serving the full dinner, and Santa Claus will be there. And so bring the family down, enjoy the full dinner. And then on the 18th, we're putting on a dinner for the Army National Guard. So I'll be up there next Sunday, and we'll be taking care of that. Don't forget, also at the Servicemen's Feast, we will be having some raffle or drawings. One of them is for a gun. Also, we'll have a couple other items there. And this helps support Missing in America Project so that we can keep doing what we're doing on these missions since we're all volunteer. So if you can help support us, we appreciate it.
Very good. Anything else? Did we miss anything?
Great day up at the cemetery yesterday. Not as many people showed up as we would have liked, but there was quite a few. It was pretty cold up there, but we did get everything taken care of up there, and it looked beautiful when we left. So there was a lot of families with their children, which was very nice to see up there. So we appreciate you coming out and showing your support, respect, and honor up there.
Yeah, and then the Pearl Harbor services that go on every year down at the courthouse here, and I think we're almost out of Pearl.
I think we have. I know of one.
We've got one left.
We have one left. Yeah, they're starting to get up there in age quite a bit.
Yeah, I watched an internment ceremony that they put to rest a couple of sailors in the Arizona.
Oh,
so, pretty powerful deal to watch.
Well, yeah. I have a public service announcement here from the IRS. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
IRS warns taxpayers of numerous tax scams nationwide, provides summary of most of the recent schemes. Now, the biggest scheme is the fact that we have an IRS. All right. But they didn't warn of that scam. This is out of the IRS's wire service. And
yeah, I like that. Did you see the one where they're saying protect your clients' information and all this? And it's like, what?
I know.
Yeah, the biggest abusers?
My favorite one from tax scam last year is the Hindu guy that calls you up. You are going to be arrested right now. They're on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they're coming for you. You'd better register your 7-Eleven, your nurse 7-Eleven.
Go to 7-Eleven and get pay. A gift card.
Go to the PayPal.
What's your credit card number?
Luden.
Yeah. We're a tax office, and they called us like 12 times.
Yeah. The guy's like, you're going to be arrested. You know, and you're like, okay, can I get your name and number so I can call you back with my credit card?
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, probably sooner or later it's going to happen.
Yeah, but for a different reason.
That's the first one on the list. The most prevalent IRS impersonation scams include requesting fake tax payments. The IRS has seen automated calls where scammers leave urgent callback requests telling taxpayers to call back to settle their tax bills. These fake calls generally claim to be the last warning before legal action is taken. Taxpayers also may receive live calls from IRS impersonators only, they have Indian accents and the Middle Eastern stuff, but they demand payments from prepaid debit cards. Gee, that ought to clue you in right there a little bit. And iTunes and other gift cards or wire transfers. So if somebody calls you up and says, "Yes, sir, you must be going down there and do your wire transfer right away," then you might want to rethink that.
You must pay your tax debt in belly button lint and goat fur.
Okay.
What? iTunes. Who pays their taxes in iTunes gift cards?
Hold on. I have an iTunes gift card right here.
The IRS, don't you know?
Hey, I got $23 left on this steakhouse gift card. Does that work?
Jeez. Unbelievable. Targeting students and parents demanding payment for a fake student tax is another one. sending a fraudulent IRS bill for 2015 related to the Affordable Care Act. I've seen actually a couple of those. Soliciting W-2 information from payroll and human resources professionals.
But didn't those come directly from the IRS?
Yeah, there's those too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who those perpetrators of the fraud are. Here's one. Imitating software providers to trick tax professionals.
Oh.
Now that's something that you might want to have take, you know, tax professionals may receive emails pretending to be from software companies. The email schemes request the recipients download and install an important software update via a link, including email. Upon completion, taxpayer professional believes they have downloaded a software update when in fact they have loaded a program designed to track the tax professional's keystrokes, which is a common tactic used by cyber thieves to steal login information, passwords, and other sensitive data.
Oh, I guess we're about at the top of the hour and they're going to cut us off. Stay tuned. The next hour, we have another guest. We have Terry Rourke coming on, and we'll be talking about vaccines. This has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
It's KCNR, Shasta Redding with the news.
TV's This Week program. They shouldn't be.
It doesn't mean we're not going to be tough across the world. It doesn't mean that we're not going to always put America first in everything we do. But we have big problems in this world. And I don't think we can solve these big problems by making believe that people don't exist. They exist. We have to talk to people.
Louisiana State Treasurer is going to Washington. Voters have chosen Republican John Kennedy to fill the state's open U.S. Senate seat, giving the GOP a 52-48 edge in that all-important chamber. Yesterday's runoff election settled the nation's last Senate seat for the term beginning in January. Kennedy was the front runner. Republicans also took two open House seats. Is your kid playing sports on a bad turf field? A review of internal emails and interviews finds the country's leading maker of artificial sports turf sold more than 1,000 fields across this country when executives knew they were no good.
Records obtained by NJ Advanced Media show that field turf executives became aware a year after beginning to sell the DuraSpine turf in 2005 that it was breaking apart long before it should. The Montreal-based company said the product should last a decade. Field Turf rejected accusations that it misled or defrauded customers as completely false and emphasized the problem does not compromise player safety.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Defense Secretary Ash Carter visited Iraq today to get an update on the battle for Mosul, the country's second largest city. He's been meeting with American commanders and Iraqi leaders, and he had lunch with U.S. troops. The unannounced visit comes as Iraqi security forces have been slowed in their campaign. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-215-0703. That's 1-800-215-0703. 1-800-215-0703. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Syria's state news agency says another 4,000 people have fled the northern city of Aleppo, where government forces are closing in on a rapidly shrinking rebel enclave. State TV today shows hundreds of Syrians fleeing eastern Aleppo as the fighting rages, saying more than 70,000 have fled since the wide-scale offensive began earlier this month. A state TV broadcaster says insurgents still control about 4 square miles in the city's east. Senator Charles Schumer wants federal officials to move faster to require mass transit employees nationwide to be screened through federal terrorism watch lists. The New York Democrat wants the Department of Homeland Security to enforce a recommendation made nearly a decade ago that rail and transit agency employees be cross-checked with the watch lists. The recommendation made in a 2007 report to the 9/11 Commission, Schumer says, quote, "It's shocking this common sense safety gap has never been closed. News and analysis at townhall.com. Tragedy strikes journalism south of the U.S. border.
Gunman assassinated Adrian Rodriguez right in front of his home in the drug cartel-plagued Mexican border city of Chihuahua. A journalist of print and online experience, he became a local government reporter for Antenna Radio in April. Organized crime routinely and constantly targets lawyers, police, and media as a terror tactic trying to silence society's response to their illicit activities. James Blair is in Mexico.
Today is Sunday, December the 11th, a birthday for some notable people. Actress Rita Moreno is 85 years old today. U.S. Ambassador to China and former Senator Max Baucus, 75. Secretary of State John Kerry turned 73 today. Actress Terry Garr is 69. And actress and comedian Monique has 49 candles on her cake today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I needed clothes and you clothed me.
I was a stranger and you invited me in.
Whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me.
From all of us at the Good News Rescue Mission, thank you for helping us reach out to the least of these.
Merry Christmas!
We are turning up the volume and mixing it up at Wind River Resort and Casino. Check out our third base blackjack pit in front of Overtime. Fridays and Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. Sexy dealers, drink specials, and a live DVJ spinning beats all night long. We'll make each gaming experience better than your last. Play blackjack in the third base pit at Wind River Resort and Casino, where you can hit it all night long. For third base blackjack pit details, log on to windriver.com. Blackjack, it's better at the river. Do you like to perform and show off your skills and vocals and sing your best? Then head down to Wind River Resort and Casino for karaoke rewards at Overtime Lounge. No cover charge. The action starts every Thursday at 9 p.m. with more ways to earn entries to win a package including a one-night hotel stay, dining certificate, free slot play, and cash. Drawing at the end of the month. Ask how to earn additional tickets. Karaoke rewards Thursdays at Wind River Resort and Casino. For rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Karaoke is better at the river.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
got to like that. That's not James Brown. That's Joe Jackson, just in case you wanted to know.
Not to be confused with Andrew.
Not to be confused with Andrew Jackson.
The one in the chat room.
The one in the chat room. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, so let's go back. I just want to finish this up with the IRS garbage. So there's a couple more here, imitating software, verifying tax return information on the phone. Scam artists call saying that they have your tax return and they need to verify a few details to process the return. Okay, if you got my return, why would you need me to verify the return if you have that? You know, the scammer tries to get you to give up personal information such as social security number. I mean, gee, I would say, could you read that to me so I know that it's correct? I don't know. Anyway, pretending to be from the tax preparation industry is another one, phishing scams, to, you know, so. But here's what I want to get to. The IRS will never do these things that I'm going to tell you right now. So if they call to demand immediate payment for using a specific payment method such as prepaid debit card, gift card, wire transfer, initiate a contact by email or text message, generally the IRS will mail you a bill first. So if someone calls you and demands immediate payment, they're a crook. Threaten to immediately bring in local police or other law enforcement to have you arrested for not paying. Wrong answer. They will never do that. Demand that you pay taxes without giving you the opportunity to question or appeal the amount that they say you owe. Yeah, so if they call you up and, you know, just demand that you pay your taxes, they're a scam. If they ask for any credit card or debit cards over the phone, they're a scam. So if any of those things occur, you know, your red lights and sirens should be going off. You know, you might want to call the local sheriff. You know, do not give out any information. Hang up immediately. And you could call the TIGDA, which is the Tax Treasury Inspector General's it's the TIGA, TIGTA, and do an impersonation report if you want to. And they're like the Internal Affairs Division of the IRS. But anyway. So that's what you never want to do. So if anybody gets scammed here, you know, then, you know, it's pretty easy to just to disarm the thing and hang up and don't worry about it and go on. But I get a lot of, calls here in the last 6 months on this saying, oh man, you know, what do I do?
I got a call. They threatened that if I don't pay, they'll send the sheriff.
It's a scam. Hang up.
Yep.
Yeah. If he calls back,
so just bring it on and hang up.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bring it.
Whatever.
You and what army, you? Yeah, meet me at 7-Eleven. Anyway, so we do have a guest.
We do. We have Terry Rourke on the phone with us this morning, and we will be talking about vaccines. Good morning, Terry.
Are you there?
Good morning, Linda.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you coming on and giving us some information about exactly what's all going on with the vaccines. But before we get into it, can you kind of give the listeners a little bit of background about why you got so involved in this fight?
Sure. My son, my late son, was injured by DPT vaccines in 1973. I didn't know that it was the vaccines that had caused his very severe and chronic autoimmune diseases until he was about 7 or 8. And I was advised to never give him another vaccine. My first clue was when he was about 15 months old, and I had taken him in for the MMR vaccine. I still trusted my doctors. I still did what I thought was the right thing to do. Like every mother, I was loving and responsible and wanted to do what was right for my child, or what I thought was right for my child. The public health nurse refused to give him the MMR vaccine at 15 months because by then he had very severe eczema. Very obvious, and it wasn't mild. It was covered his body, and it was oozing. So it was, again, he had very severe and chronic autoimmune disease that first exhibited symptoms as a toddler in the form of eczema. And so in my quest to heal my son, I started educating myself, and it wasn't really until after, it wasn't really until the 80s when I didn't get my first computer until 1985, and National Vaccine Information Center had launched in 1982. When I got my computer, it was easier for me to do my research, and I found NVIC and really started digging in. So I'm the California State Director for Advocacy for the National Vaccine Information Center, and our mission is quite simply to prevent vaccine injuries and death and to advocate for informed consent and personal belief extension.
When you say the form consent, I kind of want to go into that a little bit. There's stuff going on with children in school and consent and opting out. Can you kind of give us, you know, the scenario, what's happening and where they're going with this?
It's bad news. Everything about it is bad news. Last year, SB 277, authored by Senator Pan and Senator Allen, was passed. And what that did is it removed a long-standing personal belief exemption that was inclusive of religious beliefs. Parents can no longer opt out of even one vaccine that's on the mandated schedule if they want their child to attend public or private school, daycare, or preschool. And the state of California has 10 really mild childhood illnesses that until a vaccine was ready to market, the concept of having measles and chicken pox was, you know, a normal thing, rite of passage in childhood. But once the vaccines were produced and approved and ready to market, all of a sudden these benign childhood illnesses became dreaded diseases. And so right now, kids in California, unless they comply with the mandates that the state of California has decided they need, they cannot attend public or private school, daycare, or even home daycare programs unless they are in compliance. The only option is a medical exemption, which is coming under tremendous scrutiny, and physicians are having their threats of their license being revoked for writing appropriate and necessary medical exemptions for children who are extremely vulnerable to severe vaccine reactions. And some of these kids have already had severe vaccine reactions, or they have a sibling, an older sibling that had a bad vaccine reaction, and in many families, they've already lost a child to vaccine injury and death. So we're placing a very vulnerable subset of children in our state into a situation where for many of them, they will be forced to receive what will ultimately be a lethal injection.
And in that, also, don't they have in the works, if not already, where the parents don't even have to know that their kids are going to be receiving the vaccines in school? They don't have to notify the parents of anything. They just go ahead and perform them?
Well, yes and no. Let me give you a little more background on that.
Okay.
In 2011, a bill that was authored by Tony Atkins, who has just left the assembly to go on to the Senate, authored a bill called AB 499. And what AB 499 in 2011 did was give 12-year-old children, boys and girls, the ability to consent to all vaccines in relationship to STDs. Right now, that includes the HPV vaccine and hepatitis B vaccine. So 12-year-old kids can consent to those vaccines without parental knowledge or consent. These same kids can't get their ears pierced without parental consent. They can't get a tattoo without parental consent, but they can consent to STD vaccines, and there's about 4 or 5 STD vaccines currently in the FDA pipeline. And once those are approved, they'll be shipped to California, and kids can get it on their own. Mom and dad will never know until they come home collapsing or having serious adverse reactions, which is extremely common.
Yes, it is. You see it more and more, too, with and younger children, not just the school-age children with that.
Well, we're starting out on day one with a hepatitis B vaccine. Newborns receive that within the first 12 hours of life. It has, I believe it's 225 micrograms of aluminum. And pregnant mommies are tested for blood-borne diseases during their pregnancy. So if mommy has hepatitis B, which is a blood-borne and mm-hmm. bodily fluid transfer, the baby's going to be born positive. That will be a given. And a lot of people live productive lives with hepatitis B because it's something that can be treated.
Yes,
so
it can.
If a baby's mommy has hepatitis B, the baby's born positive, and the baby should be treated. Simple. Take care of the ones who need it. You don't have to inject every single one of them. So that's where it starts, day one. And most people have no idea that we're giving our children, if they are complying with the CDC recommended vaccines for children, they're receiving 70 doses of vaccines by the time they enter kindergarten.
Wow.
It's 70 by the time they're 18, 49 or 50 by the time they enter school. And if they are going into some sort of daycare program or a preschool program, there's, you know, different requirements for how many vaccines, because they don't just get one vaccine. They get multiple booster shots because,
right.
you know, the vaccines don't work all that well. They're not safe and they're not effective.
Right. They do not stop the spread of disease or anything. Actually, they promote it more than they, stop it. Under the person, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you have to get vaccines so you don't get the disease that's going around, which is truly false. That is not the way it happens.
Well, I'm really comforted to know that you're very well aware of that, Linda, because most people don't understand. You know, we hear all these horror stories in mainstream media. Oh, you know, this college has an outbreak of mumps and this place has an outbreak of measles, and you know, it's the sky is falling. Oh my God, we're all going to die. 5 kids have the measles.
Right.
And what you don't see in the mainstream media is the fact that in the vast majority of those situations, the kids were recently vaccinated.
Exactly. Yeah, it amazes me that people don't realize that, you know, in the United States, we spend more money on vaccines and vaccinate more than any other country, yet we are the sickest country on earth.
Yeah, we have, you know, when you look at the industrialized countries as far as infant mortality rates and first day deaths, we're ranking with third world nations. Mm-hmm. It's an abomination what we're doing to our children. And, yeah, we have the sickest generation of children since the beginning of mankind.
Yeah.
And we vaccinate more than any other country in the world. You're very right.
Yeah, we sure do. And that's what I think, that's one thing I want to bring out is people don't realize that. I know growing up, you know, before I started getting involved in it, I didn't realize, you always thought, you know, get your shot so you don't get smallpox or whatever, and then you won't get sick when you get older and everything. And then come to find, it was all false. Just, it's totally false.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and
it's driven by profit.
Huge. The
U.S. government holds patents on some of these vaccines and receives royalties. We're the largest purchaser of vaccines. And, you know, we're dealing with a situation where we have an out-of-control regulation process through either FDA, CDC, and both of them, actually. And they are rogue agencies. They are pretty much captive by the corporate owners.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a tremendous, it's a multi-billion dollar industry that has zero liability, because in 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Safety Act was passed, and it indemnified vaccine manufacturers and administrators from any liability due to injury or death.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccines are the only product that have zero liability that are actually mandated.
Well,
that would be like making a faulty car with no brakes and then requiring everyone to buy it and drive it.
Well, there's a special fund that's set up to pay liabilities for damages for vaccines that the United States taxpayers actually pay for. And to date, we've paid out over $3 billion in damages for vaccines that don't hurt anybody.
Right. And there's several billion more in the trust fund that the government's earning interest on while they delay paying claims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got something here from the Mom Street Journal here at themomstreetjournal.com. It says, U.S. vax court sees 400% spike in vaccine injuries. Flu shot wins top honors for the biggest payout.
Correct, yeah. Lori Gregory is the editor at Mom Street Journal. She's a good friend and a very sharp gal. She worked for close to a year researching the data, because the government doesn't spit it out in a formula that can be dropped into a spreadsheet and totals created. She painstakingly, line by line, went through hard copy to come up with her research, and she did a great job.
That's what you got to do with these people a lot of times, is you got to work the data.
Yeah, you got to stay on them, you know.
Well, the one that's concerning to me as a middle-aged man in America is people of my age group, my generation. Now there's studies that are linking early onset Alzheimer's in people my age to mercury degradation in the brain from vaccines. You know, that you're getting 35 to 45-year-olds that are getting Alzheimer's from this stuff.
Right, and
yeah. And it's not just the mercury, it's the aluminum. See, what they did when they played a shell game, basically, when they said, oh, well, thimerosal might be a problem, so we should remove it from the pediatric vaccine. Well, they didn't remove it from the adult formulas, number one. And what they did on the vaccines that they supposedly removed the thimerosal, it's just a shell game. They took thimerosal off the quote-unquote preservative list so that it looks like it's not there. But it's still used in the manufacturing process, and they admit that trace amounts of the thimerosal still end up in the vaccine. And you know, when you talk about the A diseases that are rampant, mm-hmm. autism and ADHD in our children, Alzheimer's and dementia in our seniors, early onset arthritis in children, these are all vaccine injuries.
Yeah, and I know personally we're seeing a lot of children coming in that from the vaccines and other things that the doctors are giving them, a lot of yeast infections and candida, and where they have infection that you are not able to take care of right away because it's so indated into their bodies that they mm-hmm. have to go through a detox at a very mm-hmm. early age in order to get some of that poisons and like you say, aluminum and mercury out of their system so you can even begin to deal with what's going on in their little bodies.
Yeah, it's keeping kids healthy nowadays is a real challenge.
Yeah, you got to keep them away from your doctor.
Well, that's a lot of it.
We have confused medical care with healthcare. Medical care is not health. And, you know, they have done a nice little definition of the word change, and that's the common narrative. You know, people think that vaccines and immunization are one and the same, when in fact they mean two different things.
Right, yeah. Once again, they're not telling us the truth behind what they're doing to our children or us.
No, they're not. And, you know, in California, you know, we had another bill passed last year, SB 792, was introduced by Senator Mendoza, and that is mandating 3 vaccines, but it covers a total of 7 diseases. For people who work and, get this, volunteer in daycares and preschools. So if parents want to be a volunteer and go to their child's daycare or preschool a couple of hours a week or one afternoon a week, they have to comply to vaccine mandates in order to be allowed to participate in their own child's early education.
Unbelievable. I want to expand on that a little bit. Don't they have something that they're putting in place for adults as well? Like if you're traveling, let's say out of state, and they think that you might possibly have a disease or something along that lines, that they are going to start quarantining people and demanding either, A, you get vaccinated, or B, you don't get to go. We keep you hostage until you get the vaccine. Is that correct?
Okay. I think what you're referring to is a CDC rule change that was proposed last year. Oh, actually, we're still in 2016. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I think that hit the radar in like August or September. I don't remember now exact date, but. What it is it's an administrative rule change. And what the CDC has done is a power grab. They don't want to have to wait for martial law. They want to be able to detain people traveling in the country, into the country, or across state lines on any public transportation, airline, buses, trains, you name it.
Right.
And if there is a possibility that you may have come into contact with someone who may have a communicable disease, they can detain you without due process.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. And that's real scary. I believe that they're going to start doing that to people, correct?
Well, I don't know the status. I have to look up. I know that there were like 15,000 comments during the public comment period on the Federal Register for that proposed law. There were, of course, the National Vaccine Information wrote a very strong opposition letter. ACLU did. I don't know if the airlines chimed in. You see, the CDC has tried to do this twice before, and it got shut down. But they have not introduced this proposed rule change since 9/11. And now that everything changed after 9/11, they figured they could let it fly by, and they'd get away with it now.
And they, and
so
they,
we're,
the one that, that concerns it, me is how long do we have before my refusal to get my, my kids these dangerous vaccines
and yourself
and myself becomes a matter of child endangerment, and now I've got CPS in my life.
Well, that's already happening. That's happening more and more, because what they've done is they've implemented in the pediatric field, there's a new specialty. It's called pediatric child abuse. And most major hospitals have a pediatric child abuse specialist on staff. And so when you go in, if your child, you know, little Johnny, let's say, here's a classic example, little Johnny falls out of a tree and breaks his leg. Okay, you need some medical attention there. Mm-hmm. You show up in ER, the first thing they want to ask, the first thing they ask you is your kid up to date. And when they find out that you are not, or that you don't vaccinate at all, you get a red flag in that chart, and you get a visit, and you get a lot of pressure to vaccinate that kid before he's discharged. And I have received many calls from many families throughout California. It's not specific to one hospital. It's rampant throughout. When, you know, they have a situation like this where they're being threatened, because what this pediatric specialist will do is contact CPS and say that you are a medically neglectful parent and the child needs protection. Some families have lost their children to CPS based on that. Others that were awake and knew their rights were, could basically say, hey, you know what? You don't have a warrant and we're leaving. Talk to my attorney. And they go home and they deal with it. But most families don't know that they have rights there.
Well, they're scared.
Their kid is injured or very, very ill. They just want to take care of their child and get their child well again or healed again and, you know, take care of the medical emergency and go home and then, you know, see their normal health care provider, be it a medical doctor or one of the many alternative health practitioners that are available. And they find they're already traumatized because they're dealing with a critical issue that otherwise they wouldn't even be in the hospital to start with.
Right. Mm.
And when somebody comes along and starts browbeating you, you know, think about this from a standpoint of a low-income single mother who maybe English is her second language. She's not going to fight these people. She's going to comply so that she doesn't lose her kid.
Well,
and this happens. This happens every day, folks. This is not tomorrow. This is now.
Do you think we might see some relief in the near future, knowing that our president-elect and our future first lady are vehemently anti-vaccine?
Well, I would be hopeful, but I think it's somewhat foolish for anyone to put that much faith into one person. I mean, you know, politically, the presidency is a figurehead, and the powers that be that are behind this vaccination paradigm are much bigger than just the United States. Although we're the ones that are really driving it, because we're the ones that have, you know, patents on a lot of these things, and the WHO takes a lot of lead from our CDC. So I don't know. It's a really tangled mess. I'm hopeful to see a change, but the mandates for kids in school is something that's done on a state level. See, the federal government doesn't mandate vaccines.
It's just the states.
States do that. Every state has different rules for kids.
But they also receive federal funding, which gets back to the whole political carrot and stick issue with the federal government using their own money to bribe somebody to do what they want to do.
Well, they actually receive, if my understanding's correct, some of the doctors receive, I believe it's $400, maybe $500 per child for vaccinating them through the federal government. Are you aware of that?
I am, sort of, but it's a little bit different as far as my information. This is a program that the bonus, or what I prefer to call it, what it really is a kickback.
Yeah.
That's been paid by the insurance companies. It's not directly coming from the federal government. It's coming from insurance companies.
Okay.
And it's based on a percentage of two-year-olds within your practice. You have to have a certain percentage of two-year-olds fully up to date where they need to be by the time they're two, and you receive a $400 kickback for each one.
Right.
And it's a certain percentage, you know, so I forget the percentage. I think it's like 86, 87%. So let's say, you know, you have 100 kids under two, and in a large pediatric practice, that's not unusual.
Right.
With multiple doctors. And let's say you have, just for round figures, just to play with the math, you have 100 two-year-olds or under, and you have 87%, you have 87 kids fully vaccinated, that's $400 a head.
Right.
So what pediatric physicians are doing now is, if a parent is choosing to delay or decline one or not vaccinate at all, they're dismissing them from their practice, so their percentage of unvaccinated or behind the schedule kids doesn't skew and blow their little kickback.
Right. Terry, we do have a caller on the line. We have Terry. You have a question for our guest?
I do. Terry, I'm so glad that you made it on the program.
Oh, thank you. Who is this?
This is Terry Raposa.
Oh, hi, Terry. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for what you do. And when we have the state of Jefferson, I know that you're going to have a certain position in that, aren't you?
Well, I'm happy to help anyone, anywhere, protect children from vaccine injury and death. So if there's something I can do for you at that time, you let me know.
Well, I think there wasn't there a political position you wanted?
Well, I don't know if I'm really ready for a political career. you better find somebody to fund that.
Anyway, thank you for all you do. It's remarkable, all the help you give folks, and all of us, including Mark and Linda, and all of us would love to have you come to the Patriot meeting. We have an open date on January 16th, so you can get back to Sal and I, and you're more than welcome to stay with us. But thank you so much, Terry, for all you do. I mean, you're a remarkable lady who has a passion for this, and believe me, these things won't be happening in our new state.
Well, that's encouraging news, and we need to reverse course here. We're on warp speed down the wrong road.
That's for sure.
Anyway, have a great day, Terry. Thanks again for all you do.
All right, thanks for calling in, Terry.
Thanks for calling in.
We appreciate that. And I guess with that, we need to go to a break, and then we'll come back and pick this subject up some more and give us some more information, Terry, about some of the things that's going on and what we might be able to do to change course so we can help our children.
Good.
All right. You've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
this mountainside, across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide, setting my feet upon the road. My heart is old, it holds my memories. My body burns a gem like flame. Somewhere between the soul and soft machine, it's where I find myself again.
Family here at KCNR 1460 AM. We're celebrating our eighth year on the air. We'd like to thank our holiday sponsors, the Original Clydes, located at 1250 Hartnell, the only full-service and sales store for television, satellite, and home electronics in Reading, and Zoe's Travel Store in the Mount Shasta Mall, from city streets to country gravel. Your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. Zoe's provides all your travel needs 7 days a week. From the KCNR family and sponsors, happy holidays.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PALS Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PALS Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Jake Shimabukuro is returning to Reading's Cascade Theater. He's the ukulele wizard that Rolling Stone has declared a musical hero. He's fun, innovative, and amazing in concert. Don't miss Hawaiian ukulele master Jake Shimabukuro in concert December 11th at the Cascade. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
It's Carl and Linda Bott, and we just wanted to let you know about Omaha Steaks holiday gift packages. You simply can't go wrong with Omaha Steaks.
Shop now for gourmet gift packages guaranteed to fit your list and budget. Cherish more time with your loved ones thanks to the one-stop shopping, no prep, and oven-ready dinners all from Omaha Steaks.
We have tried them, and we're delighted to see how easy they were to prepare and how delicious they are.
Start your holiday shopping now at omahasteaks.com.
It's the B&T Satellite Dish Network Veteran Challenge. You know us. We're your local guys. Don't call the 800 number. We want to give the gift of free satellite service to an active military family this winter. Here's how it works. For every 10 new services B&T Satellite receives, we'll be setting up service for one active military family in our community to win a full year of service free. That's right. We'll pay for their service for a year. And that's not all. For every person who signs up during this winter campaign, you'll get $100. Take advantage of the amazing Flex plan starting at only $39.99 a month.
Here's a way for you to support our military this holiday season and New Year with a gift that they can enjoy all year long. Call us today, 241-3474. That's 241-3474. Or stop by our office located at 1007 Dana Drive in Reading. B&T Satellite. We're the local guys and we care about our customers.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
They want to inject you, infect you with the vaccine and say they protect, but they reject your immunity. And if you protest, they arrest you and they lock you down.
Can't have people like that walking around contagious. The truth is outrageous. Don't you know the drug companies made this flu? And if you're thinking you want to evade this, then you gotta say this.
Don't inject me.
Don't stick that needle in my arm and chemically wreck me.
Don't inject me. Don't infect me.
Don't stick that needle in my veins and medically wreck me.
Don't use me. Don't abuse me.
Don't push your medical lies and try to confuse me.
Don't trick me. Don't you dick me.
With that needle in your hand, don't you dare try to prick me.
Not sure where we're going there, but the anti-vaccine Don't Inject Me song. That was Bob's. That's all Bob right there. I got nothing to do with it.
Hey, the message is great. You know, the message is great. You know,
I was starting to dance over here. You know, I thought, hey, I ought to tune into this station more often. That's my kind of music.
That's by someone called the Health Ranger.
The Health Ranger.
Yeah. Yes.
Health Ranger. Isn't that Mike Adams?
It might be. I'll have to look that up.
Okay.
Let's see if we can verify that.
Okay, so before we went to the break, we went over a lot of different stuff. We got SB 277 coming in, and I forget the other one, but we've got all this going on with our children from birth, basically, with the vaccines.
Right.
What are some of the things we can do or solutions, or how can people start standing up and saying no, you know, pulling their kids out of the schools. What are some of the solutions you guys see that will make a difference and what can be done with our children?
Well, what I'm seeing is an exodus, if you will, from the public educational system. People are removing their kids from public and, in some cases, private schools, and they're homeschooling. A lot of families have chosen not to enter their five-year-olds into kindergarten because in the state of California, the mandatory age for education is 6. And once people realize that they don't have to put their five-year-old into kindergarten, they're not.
Right.
I heard from one school district up north on one of the coastal areas where one of the, I don't remember if she was on the county board of education or if she was with one of the school boards or just what, but based on their total population in their school, if SB 277 had been in effect in 2015. It was passed in 2015, but it didn't become effective until June in 2016. And she reported that if the bill had been in effect in 2015, based on their kindergarten enrollment and the number of children that are from families that have healthy kids that eat well, sleep well, and all that, and they have strong immune systems, so they're not vaccinating them, they would have had a class enrollment so small that they would not have been able to pay for a teacher to handle the kindergarten class. They would not have been able to support a kindergarten class. I'd like to see something like that happen in in the largest school districts, but they'll just shuffle the teachers around and cover the class.
Right.
So people are leaving this. And the other thing that's happened, and this has kind of surprised me, I knew some people would say, forget it, I'm done with California, and they would exit the building. You know, this Hotel California stuff, people aren't going to put up with it. we've had a lot of people leave the state, and from what I hear, there's a lot more that are planning to either during the Christmas vacation or at the end of school year. And some of these families are taking their businesses with them. This is part of the unintended consequences, and it will have an adverse impact on our economy in California.
Right. With that, Terry, I don't mean to interrupt, but we do have a caller on the line. We've got Billy Bob in Palo Cedro. You have a question or comment for our guest, Billy?
Hello, am I on?
You're on.
Hey, well, great show today.
Thanks.
James guy absolutely fascinated me. And again, this commentary that you're having on the vaccines just strikes me so significantly because these doctors, you know, they go to school for 8 years. I mean, come on, they're brain dead. When the time they get out of there, they're in debt for $200,000. Why can't they figure this stuff out? And there is no reason, absolutely no reason, why California should mandate these vaccines until they get the science straight. It's just like global warming. I mean, it's just a communist situation, and kids are suffering. So anyway, that's my comment. Now, again, I want to commend this lady. Terry is her name, right?
Terry.
For all you do, and then I want to piggyback on Terry Raposa's comments, which he's always right when he calls in. I love his calls in. And we got to keep this fight going because this is ridiculous. I mean, come on. Why don't we just have everybody march in front of the firing line on the, you know. I mean, okay, so I'm done. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in, Billy Bob.
Well, that's what I think it's come to, especially here in California, on many, many issues, is a direct refusal of the people to comply. I will not comply.
Yeah, it's time we stand up, that's for sure.
Are you a free man or not? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Are you free, or is the government control your life, your kids, your family, your money, everything? And you have to look at the mirror, look in the mirror, and ask yourself that question with sincerity: am I a free person? And if you can't say that I am, then you got some problems that you really have to face.
And this affects not just you, but it affects our children and their children. I mean, directly affects them. You are putting them in the crosshairs and allowing this to happen.
Right. You know, what a lot of people don't realize, and this is on every vaccine manufacturer's package insert, there's a disclaimer, and it's there for a reason. And the disclaimer states that the vaccine has not been tested for carcinogenic, mutagenic, and the third thing, oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank. It basically means it's going to mess with your DNA, but we haven't tested for that. So we're just telling you that it's not tested for that. They can cause cancer. Reproductive. Yeah, it can affect the reproductive system. What we're seeing here is our girls are getting some of these vaccines, specifically the Gardasil and Cervax HPV vaccines.
Yep.
And these young ladies are going into early menopause. They will not be fertile, and they will not be able to give birth to healthy babies.
Yeah, and you're seeing them at a younger and younger age this happening. Instead of, like, you know, 14, 15, we're looking at, you know, 7, 8-year-olds and maybe even younger.
I haven't personally heard those reports. I'm not saying it's not happening.
Right.
The new Gardasil vaccine has been approved for children as young as 9. They want to get this stuff into them before or during puberty.
Yep.
Because then their hormonal situation is happening, and when you can affect change in that, you can affect their sexuality and their ability to reproduce.
Hey, Terry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're almost at the end of the show. If people want to get a hold of you or get more information and do their homework, where should they go?
Best thing to do is log on to the MVICAdvocacy.org, That's NVICADVOCACY.org.
Okay.
Sign up. NVIC Advocacy, ADVOCACY.org.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, Terry. We need to have you back when we have a little bit longer time. Thanks again, and Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before then.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, and Merry Christmas to all of you, too.
Merry Christmas.
Remember, when we all had health insurance and it got cheaper and we were given free unicorns. You're born an original, don't die a copy. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
You're tuned to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Sunday, Senator John McCain says that the Senate Armed Services Committee will go to work immediately to investigate.